All of us have difficulty being as effective as we like in teaching the Baha'i Faith to others. We pray that we will have the opportunity, as Abdu'l-Bahá has said so often, to find waiting servants. Teaching is an obligation in the Baha'i Faith. When we recognize our obligation to teach, each of us has this obligation. Nonetheless, it is often difficult for us to find the way to put this obligation into practice, into action. We desire very much to have the opportunity, the priceless opportunity and the most fulfilling reward of being able to find another soul who can recognize the truth of Baha'u'llah's mission in this day. It seems to me that as Baha'is, we need to be a bit more creative in creating and finding and recognizing the doors to teaching opportunities. Too often we fall into stereotyping when and where we can mention the Baha'i Faith and under what circumstances. As we develop our own teaching strategies, we often overlook and miss many teaching opportunities because we have not defined them as opportunities. I like to use the example of the man standing on the street corner waiting for a taxi cab. If he has been told that taxi cabs are yellow, he could miss a lot of taxi cabs that come by brown or green. Yellow is not the only color for a taxi cab. He can have every other thing correct and understand everything else about taxi cabs and how to hail them, but his quest will be unsuccessful simply because he had one small bit of information incorrect. Namely, taxi cabs don't have to be yellow. In the same way, I think, as Baha'is, we miss many doors to teaching opportunities simply because we have never thought systematically about how our life contains teaching opportunities, how we really have the opportunity to bring the Baha'i Faith to people, casually, in pre-planned ways, or in very serendipitous and unexpected ways. Our whole lives are energized by teaching the cause of God and bringing the love of God and the light of God through the teachings of Baha'u'llah to our fellow men. We deprive ourselves of this bounty when we are unable to see many of the teaching opportunities that surround us. Of course, the first great teaching opportunity we have is the power of our own example. So many times in our writings, we find statements that tell us that it is so important that we set the example for others, showing them what the light of Baha'u'llah can do in our lives. In this dynamic force of example is the opportunity to allow the light of a good character to surpass the light of the sun. The opportunity for us to show in a world that does not care that we are willing and able to serve our fellow men. In these opportunities to express the life of the servant of Baha'u'llah are the most powerful teaching opportunities we can have. But we are all imperfect. Many times our life does not reflect the powerful example we would like it to. Though it must be a lifetime task to increase the power of our example, that is, of course, not the only way that we can serve the Baha'i Faith. But our reputation of fair-mindedness, reflecting the various attributes of the Baha'i Faith, will lead people to ask us why we act the way we do, and why, hopefully, our conduct stands out from the conduct of others. It will become an obvious and positive opportunity to say, we act this way because we are Baha'is. Remember in the Advent of Divine Justice where Shoghi Effendi says that as Baha'is, our character and conduct must be so exemplary that people will know immediately that we are Baha'is because of the way we act. This goes back to the power of example and the power of reputation. We will never be successful enough to have this potential teaching opportunity reflected to its full extent because we are all imperfect. Often our conduct will not reflect in as full a way as we like, the teachings of Baha'u'llah. This is why it is so vital that our teaching opportunities are shaped by the integrity of our faith. It gives so much meaning to our life struggle as Baha'is to reflect the attributes of God, the teachings of our faith, so that we may become a magnet to others. Otherwise, many of the doors to teaching opportunities will be locked due to our unwisdom or the fact that we are only imperfectly able either to understand or reflect the power of our faith. A second door to teaching opportunity that we have is our contact with what I would call our circles. These circles are, in essence, the people we come in contact with regularly. Each of us has our own circle of friends and acquaintances and colleagues. We must begin to see how these circles contain important teaching opportunities. In general, we should be alert to the opportunity to bring the light of Baha'u'llah to everyone that we meet, doing so, of course, with discretion. We must never be reluctant to identify ourselves as Baha'is or to share with others the beauty and love, grandeur and glory of our faith, but we cannot force it on them in any way or allow them to feel that our activities are at all related to proselytization. The offering of the teachings of Baha'u'llah to our fellow men must be an offering of love. It must be done in the proper spirit of humility, with the proper respect for the other individual's right as a human being to exercise his rational power of choice, to find for himself the love of God and not have it imposed by others. But at the same time, it must be direct, as comprehensive as possible, and it must be loving. We must be sensitive to the needs of the person we are teaching, to his or her orientation and preferences, and not start with a problem a person is likely to have because of their beliefs or habits or practices. We must teach in the most loving and positive way so that a person can discover the light of truth before having to rationalize it and make it fit in terms of his total life pattern that is likely to be strange to the law of God. We have to remember, as Baha'is, we are accountable for our behavior in terms of the teachings of Baha'u'llah. Those who have not had the opportunity to see the light of the teachings of Baha'u'llah are under no such mandate, so their behavior has a completely different meaning than our own. Too often, we will make the mistake of prejudging whether a person is ready to hear about the Baha'i faith or not, according to the way in which they fit the teachings of Baha'u'llah we are responsible to follow. I would like to tell a story about myself here. When I was an undergraduate at Stanford University, I was a member of the Stanford University band. And in that band, of course, were a wide variety of individuals, about 100. If I was to judge these individuals in terms of the way in which their lifestyles were compatible with Baha'i teachings, there would be no doubt in my mind that one person would come at the very bottom of the list. A person who had chosen a lifestyle such that in almost every way you could mention, the teachings of Baha'u'llah would be opposite from the way he lived his life. I served in the band with him for 3 years, and because of his obviously incompatible lifestyle, I never mentioned the Baha'i faith to him. After I left Stanford and was pioneering for the Baha'i faith in Greece, I got a letter. "Dear Dwight, I have just discovered that you were a Baha'i, and I was amazed to find out that we served in the band for 3 years together, and you never mentioned the Baha'i faith to me. I thought you would like to know that I have become a Baha'i." This was a powerful lesson to me, because I had decided that this particular individual was unreceptive to the light of Baha'u'llah's teachings and would be completely closed to them. That decision led me not to mention the Baha'i faith. How lucky he was that other Baha'is did not have the same prejudice toward him. We have to remember that oftentimes a person's behavior, a person's lifestyle is conditioned by his understanding of what is required of him, of what opportunities come to him as a result of his particular lifestyle, or perhaps he or she has never even thought about many of the things which they incorporate into their lifestyle. These are simply the influences of friends, neighbors, or circumstances, or whatever. We must make sure that whenever we teach people about the Baha'i faith, we do not judge them by our standards as Baha'is, when they, as persons who have not yet seen the light of Baha'u'llah, are not held to the same standard. Our obligation is to present them with the love and beauty of our teachings in the most positive way possible, to intrigue their interests, to give them the opportunity to learn more. Once we've done that, then it becomes their responsibility to follow up on that opportunity, and we must not press them too hard. This is important as we deal with the people in our own circles. We should be careful, because these are the people we are going to be dealing with over an extended period of time. We must not alienate them or make them resent our religious fervor. Let them know uncompromisingly, explicitly, of our beliefs. Find every opportunity to share with them the implications of our belief in the laws of Baha'u'llah and how Baha'i teachings influence our decisions and actions as we share activities with them during our employment or service or whatever the circles happen to be. At the same time, let us not make them resent us as Baha'is, or be threatened by our faith, or allow the fact that we are Baha'is to come between us and a constructive relationship in whatever activity these circles suggest. This is a very delicate matter and a hard one to gauge correctly, but it must be our intention to share completely and openly the tenets of our faith and to seek out opportunities to elaborate and to build the beauty of the faith that guides and directs our lives, so that other people may see how the lives of all of mankind may be enriched by submission to the will of God and the recognition of His revelation through the teachings of Baha'u'llah for this age. At the same time, we must allow each individual the right of choice and the feeling that we are respecting his or her rights as an individual to make the choice to bring themselves under the influence of the most recent covenant of God, or to remain aloof from it, even though we know that in terms of the consequences of their lives, that their lives would be enriched by the opportunity to share this divine wisdom. We will be alert to every opportunity to mention our faith on a low key, but in a direct way, in all of our circles. In our circles of employment, for example, it should not be too long after we arrive in a position that everyone we work with on a regular basis knows in a very direct way that we are Baha'is, but knows also that we do not impose our values on them, or that our working relationship with them will in no way be affected by how they respond to the knowledge of our faith. This is very important. Otherwise, in places of employment, people could very justifiably be upset with us for using our employment for extraneous purposes. We do not use our employment for covert agendas, for trying to convert people to the Baha'i faith. We as Baha'is, wherever we are trying to find the waiting servants, to give people the opportunity to become interested, to study the faith if they choose. We want to assist them and help them in that effort anytime we can, and to give them the integrity of that choice. If we go about it in this way, then it becomes easy for us to tell everyone with whom we work that we are Baha'is, what this means, and gives us the opportunity to point out how the Baha'i faith influences our decision-making, our values, and the way we relate to other people. Also, we can point out the reason why we do not participate in drinking parties, why we do not backbite, why we avoid situations that might compromise our principles. But at the same time, we respect the other individual and his or her right to the beliefs that he has. There are, of course, many other circles that we have other than our employment circles. There are schoolmates if we are in school. There are our colleagues in various kinds of service clubs or special interest groups. And we will often have regular recreational activities that bring us into contact with other groups of individuals. Our fellowship activities give special opportunities to join with people in sharing the joy of life, the joy of being with each other, the joy of relating to other individuals. As Baha'is, we are prepared to enter into that fellowship at a level of great integrity and loyalty. As Baha'is, we care about personal relationships more than the average person. We can be counted upon as friends to exhibit the loyalty of friendship, a loyalty which is getting scarcer and scarcer in an age where relationships are increasingly disposable. The joy of sharing often becomes a suitable bridge between the differences that individuals have between each other and a door to teaching opportunity. There are also our neighbors. All of these circles are part of the regular and continuing opportunity that we have to share the cause of Baha'u'llah in the most ordinary and ongoing way. These circles give us the opportunity of casual contact within the activity or the function that we are engaging in. It also gives us the opportunity to build friendships that allow us to construct other opportunities, such as inviting people to our homes for dinner or engaging in other activities where there are natural opportunities to discuss the faith. It gives us the opportunity to invite people to share Baha'i activities with us and hear with wisdom why we have an inventory of Baha'i activities available. And depending on how active our own Baha'i community is, the more diverse the activities of the community, the more likely we are to be able to find an appropriate activity with which the individual can participate and enjoy. If the Baha'i community can sponsor social events and fellowship activities, then this is a good way to simply invite people to join in an activity that allows them to learn of our faith in a non-threatening manner. This is particularly effective if we are dealing with people whose interest may have to be aroused indirectly, as they do not either think of themselves as being religious, nor do they think of themselves as actively seeking to make spiritual decisions. The context of our Baha'i community can give us many, many different kinds of opportunities to involve people that are members of our circles. A third door to teaching opportunity is to use the casual encounters that we will have in our life. With people that sit next to us on a bus, train, or plane, with whom we meet in a grocery store, gas station, barber shop, or beauty parlor, these casual encounters become wonderful doors to teaching opportunity. The way we use these doors to teaching opportunities will, in many ways, relate to the way in which we have organized ourselves to be able to respond. This relates to some of the things I've said on another tape about our personal organization of knowledge. We need to be ready to respond to people in a variety of casual encounters, and if we've thought about this ahead of time, it is a lot easier to use casual encounters as doors to teaching opportunities. If we have gained the habit, for example, of being able to smile and enter into light conversation, which includes mention of the faith in ways that we have thought through to be interesting and attractive to others, this will often turn a casual encounter into a more serious teaching opportunity. We can go about our lives in such a way to make sure that these casual encounters become most useful to us in teaching. Another door to teaching opportunity I call the constructed encounter, where we go out of our way as Baha'is to put ourselves in a context where we will interact with people, whether this is in direct street teaching, where we go and walk up and down the street, or sit in a park and play a guitar, or whatever we do, whether we drive for 2 hours to get our hair cut in the same town every 2 weeks, so as to have an opportunity to meet the inhabitants of that town on a regular and increasingly predictable basis as they get to know us, the opportunities to teach the faith will grow. We can do a lot in the way we organize our lives to construct encounters with other individuals. So many people almost entirely restrict their activities and their teaching to their immediate circles of friends and acquaintances, and as we all know, In most cases, these circles are pretty stable. After a while, we will become very discouraged because it will appear that everyone that we know has already heard about the Baha'i Faith and has either responded favorably or has indicated a lack of interest. Then we feel frustrated and thwarted in our teaching opportunities. Here is where, most particularly, we have to become more creative in terms of reaching out to other people and to use casual encounters that are part of our lives to construct encounters with individuals to promote opportunities for teaching. Another door to teaching opportunity is what I would call multiple encounters, the way in which we use more than one meeting with an individual or contact with an individual to say new things, to progressively unfold the aspects of our faith, or to make known in a more direct way the meaning of our life as Baha'is. If we decide, for example, that we are trying to help with an extension teaching program in the next town, and we decide to do our grocery shopping in a particular market in that town, we may decide to go at about the same time every week and to go through the same checkout line and each time to spend a half a minute or a minute with the checkout clerk talking about the kinds of things that will gradually enable them to see an understanding of the teachings of Baha'u'llah. If we think ahead of time how we are going to do this so that we are prepared to use multiple encounters in a systematic way, and we have something new and different to share with the person each time that we meet, gradually over time, this provides a rather broad perspective, and we become known as Baha'is in a positive way. Of course, this has to be done in such a way that no one feels that we are intruding on their privacy or forcing something on them, but if it is done with discretion, these multiple encounters can be used systematically to produce very, very fine results. Let us not overlook the door to teaching opportunity, the whole area of volunteerism and service, by being able to serve in a volunteer capacity in various community agencies or schools, or wherever we will be brought into new circles of friends and contacts. These will often provide association with people who are predisposed to the kind of themes that our faith gives importance to, people whose lives are organized in such a way that they want to find ways to serve others. These are often people who are ready to hear of the cause of Baha'u'llah. So our volunteerism brings opportunities for service, which become doors to teaching opportunity. Formal proclamation activities are an obvious door to teaching opportunity. Opportunities that go along with proclamation activities are, again, sometimes neglected. This one Baha'i activity usually gives the opportunity to teach in many, many ways associated with that activity. When we are planning a proclamation, it gives us an opportunity to talk to people from whom we may be hiring halls, or negotiating publicity, or arranging for refreshments, or any of the activities associated with a Baha'i proclamation. A lot of the teaching effort of a proclamation takes place not at the actual meeting itself, but in the process of organizing the meeting, or following up on the meeting afterward. It is a real mistake if we think of a Baha'i proclamation as simply being the formal gathering for an hour or two, where individuals come to hear a lecture or whatever. That often will be the least significant part of the teaching opportunities associated with the proclamation, and we must train ourselves and talk with our fellow Baha'is about how to use our Baha'i activities in a much more creative way to create new doors to teaching opportunity. Another door to teaching opportunity is what I would call multiple agendas. Many times our activities, which will not necessarily be related directly to the Baha'i faith, will provide lead-ins to Baha'i discussions. We can build on people's natural interests and predispositions in terms of certain kinds of encounters. A very obvious example of this, which has long been practiced, is the fact that we will often seek to join a special interest club that is interested in international relations or world peace or universal language or other activity that is related to our interests as Baha'is into the Baha'i teachings. We will use this as a door to teaching opportunity to find people who have predispositions to associate themselves with certain social teachings or certain beliefs or practices that we identify as Baha'is. Then we have the multiple agenda of enjoying the club or service activity for its own merit or its own opportunities, and we also seek to make that a multiple agenda with direct teaching opportunities to share with people the teachings of Baha'u'llah. Each of us will have many, many activities and opportunities to create multiple agendas and to actually use our activities in many ways. Often, in my field of education, for example, when I am sharing with other people at a professional conference or convention, either in private discussion or from the podium, the fact that I consider one of the biggest problems facing American education to be the crisis in value education, I usually then add that the reason I am so sensitive to this as an issue is because as a member of the Baha'i faith, I find that education in values and helping kids understand a value frame of reference is woefully inadequate. I use the opportunity to share the Baha'i faith with them as a result of indicating the professional interest in the way in which values are taught at school. This is just one example. There are many, many others. As an educator who is interested in the process of change and talking about the nature of change in the society and the need for change in the educational system, this can be a lead-in to talking about the need for change in our religious perspective, to talk about progressive revelation in the Baha'i faith, or to ask why the profession is influenced by beliefs and values. If this is done in a way as to inform people why I ask questions the way I do, rather than to let them interpret this as an indication on my part that they should act according to my value position, then it works. Sometimes we make the mistake of letting people think that because we find certain kinds of satisfaction for our service and professional activities to be in the teachings of Baha'u'llah, that we are expecting other people to do that too, or we will not respect their right to have their values guide their professional development in the same way. In other words, if we can find a way as Baha'is to make sure that as a matter of courtesy and integrity to help people understand why we act the way we do, if they are going to be relating to us regularly, we tell them what our value system is so they can better understand how to react to us. We tell them why we do the things we do and why we go about them in the way we go about them, and at the same time, we try to learn why they go about things the way they do and what their value system is. If you will, to have an exchange of value systems, to give each other a perspective that will allow closer cooperation and a more predictable relationship, this is the objective of multiple agendas. It allows us to genuinely learn how to work or play together, to serve together in a more predictable and honest relationship, at the same time that it gives us the opportunity to construct and share our Baha'i beliefs with people who may catch fire with the love of Baha'u'llah. Another often overlooked door to teaching opportunity is cooperation. Different people are good at different things, and teaching other people, bringing the cause of God to other people, often is best accomplished through a combination of talents. One person is good at inviting people to things. Another person is an excellent hostess, but not very good at getting people to come to his or her meetings. Another person is artistically inclined and makes beautiful posters or invitations. Other people have excellent contacts with businesses and organizations that can either provide services for Baha'i functions or help generate locations or publicity or whatever. Even in our personal teaching, it is obvious, of course, that in community activities, this cooperation is often a natural part of the activity. Less often do we think of this cooperation as being desirable and, in some instances, essential. Two or three people can join together to mutually exploit each other's talents to make all of their teaching activities more effective. This can be done as a total community. This can be done among a few individual friends. There are lots of ways to gain this level of cooperation in teaching activities. I can have a personal fireside, knowing that I am better at speaking at that fireside than getting people to come. So I invite two or three of my Baha'i friends to invite their friends and get their friends to come to my fireside. Or it can be the other way around. I can have friends that I think would benefit from hearing about the Baha'i faith from the perspective of a certain individual, and can arrange encounters with that individual and opportunities for them to share the Baha'i faith as a result of my getting them together. There are many, many ways in which our teaching opportunities are enhanced with the combination of talents and interests that we all so richly share in their divergence. Another door to teaching opportunity is what I call personal campaigns. Sometimes this is just a personal resolve that we are not going to let the day go by without finding some new person to mention the cause of God to, or sometimes this will be a teaching and deepening campaign where we will try to learn something new every day from the Scriptures and then find someone to share that with, either a Baha'i or non-Baha'i or both or whatever. We ought to develop these personal campaigns. Sometimes they can be very simple. Sometimes they can be elaborate. But the idea of setting the personal goals and objectives, and this has been talked about many times before, but too oftentimes I feel that the idea of setting personal goals seems to be elaborate. And in the devotion to set up these elaborate goals, a lot of opportunities are missed. I think that personal campaigns ought to be sometimes viewed as very temporary and sometimes very spontaneous, sometimes very organized. There are lots of different ways in which personal campaigns can be doors to teaching. Then, of course, there are community campaigns where we as individuals can take the opportunity to enhance our personal teaching as a part of our participation in community campaigns. It gets us out into new settings and puts us into different opportunities in terms of meeting people or sharing with others. Often we can have a personal goal that at every community gathering we will make sure that we speak to everyone who is present, or every non-Baha'i who is present, or to do everything that we can to make sure that for every community campaign we will find a seeker to come and participate in that campaign. There are many, many ways that we can enhance our personal teaching opportunities and create new doors to teaching opportunities through community campaigns. I think there are two other doors I would like to mention. One is what I would call the explanation. Again, this is an opportunity that can be used in a variety of settings. When we are with other people, explanations will either be sought or required as to why we are doing something, or how we are going about something, or why we are there, or why we are not doing it. There are many, many different aspects of explanations that become important and appropriate. If these explanations can include a Baha'i reason, they become doors to teaching opportunities. Finally, I think that we have to be prepared for the unexpected. Life is delightful because we have to deal with the unexpected and we have the opportunity to deal with the unexpected. In fact, we can construct our lives to have more opportunities to deal with the unexpected. Dealing with the unexpected is a really exciting door to teaching opportunity. If our lives have been immersed in the opportunity for teaching, we will have as an automatic reaction to an unexpected situation some response that will indicate to others our beliefs as Baha'is, thereby inviting them to pursue that belief. Let us review the doors to teaching opportunity that we have been discussing. The power of our example, the circles in which we find ourselves in employment and fellowship activities, our casual encounters, the encounters that we construct, volunteerism, proclamation activities, multiple agendas, cooperation, personal campaigns, explanations, and responding to the unexpected. I have been talking about doors to teaching opportunities, the way in which we find and create and focus on opportunities to share the faith. This, of course, must be combined with the way we organize our knowledge to take advantage of these opportunities, and the way in which we deepen ourselves so that we will have more to say and share. All of these things go together. We have to have the opportunity to meet people and create the opportunity to meet people. We then have to have thought carefully about what we are going to say and how we are going to organize the opportunity and how we are going to respond to different opportunities. And finally, we have to ensure that our own personal deepening gives us the substance with which to share our Baha'i perspective and to be able to enrich those with whom we come in contact with the broadest possible knowledge of our faith. If we can always be increasing our knowledge, we will always be better prepared. If we have taken advantage of the opportunities to deepen our understanding and made that a part of our daily life, we will be better prepared to take advantage of the doors to teaching opportunity. It all goes together. Our life becomes a marvelously united whole when we are constantly gaining new knowledge. We are constantly organizing that knowledge so as to be prepared to share it. We are constantly finding new opportunities to meet people and to give them the opportunity to find the light of Baha'u'llah. When we make our experiences as Baha'is more focused on the purpose of our identity, the purpose of our life, to know and to worship God, when we recognize that purpose, the doors to teaching opportunity will become a lot more obvious. We have to create teaching opportunity. We have to take advantage of teaching opportunities which are there, but which we have not recognized. We have to be prepared to use these opportunities more fully as we expand our knowledge, as our own character and reputation increasingly reflects Baha'i attributes. As we have thought through the way in which to talk about our faith and to explain it, and as we find new ways to respond, as Shoghi Effendi has often said, try something. If it works, continue it. If it doesn't, try something different until you find something that works. Each of us will be comfortable in different settings, sharing the faith in different ways. We will use different organizations of knowledge. In being prepared with our response, we will try different things. We will try different patterns of deepening until we find the way that is comfortable for us and allows us to add to the knowledge of our faith. If we do all of these things, the door to teaching opportunity will open, and we will have the bounty and joy of being able to share our faith with many, many people under many different settings and conditions. It is an exciting challenge, really, and one too often that gets us down a little bit, because if we have, in our enthusiasm as Baha'is, developed sort of standardized responses and standardized circumstances that we recognize as teaching opportunities, we can become very discouraged when the kinds of taxicabs that we were expecting, the yellow taxicabs, are in short supply and we are not alert to seeing the brown ones. It is this alertness, this sensitivity, that I have tried to share with you and to encourage you to seek for yourself. The doors to teaching opportunity are there. There are many others, of course, that I have not mentioned. Each of us has to make our own inventory, create our own doors, go about it in a way that is comfortable for us. There is no one way to teach our faith, but we are well advised to remember the quotation in the Advent of Divine Justice: "Be unrestrained as the wind when teaching the cause of God." Now, that does not mean that we have license to be a hurricane or a tornado. We want to be the gentle breezes. One pioneer said that we seek to be the invisible wind in the sails to guide the ships in the right direction and provide them with energy, but in an inobtrusive and constructive way. This is the best we can hope for, to recognize the doors to teaching opportunity when they are there and to use them as well as we can. To always go about our lives in such a way that our lives become more sensitive to the needs of others into the opportunities to share the most precious gift, the bounty of the love of God that has been expressed in this age to bring mankind to maturity, to establish the kingdom of God on earth. What a precious gift it is to share. And this is ultimately the reason that we as Baha'is choose to seek out the doors to teaching opportunity, to open these doors and to usher those whom we meet to the knowledge of God.